on one up top. Bug on one up top. All the other formations, they surely have to stop. Bug on one up top. Bug on one up top. Jamie and Jordan, the bullshit never stops.
You're listening to the One Up Top podcast, hosted by Jamie and Jordan. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast and all of our social media outlets at One Up Top Podcast.
And a very big welcome back to One Up Top this season. And it's very much a one-man band. I'm One Up Top in the sanctuary this evening, as my former wife has moved out into the leafy suburbs with a new girl. And we won't be seeing him again, I suppose. Well, we have him for the bus on Friday, that's all that matters, around, right?
Well, I hope so, because no one else is going to run around. he won't turn down a few quid either, so yeah, he'll be there.
Money's the key thing. Once the money runs dry, that's it, he's done with Bowes, he said. But now he's busy, so he's retired from the game. He's off my coach of Malahide United. This is a man who I had to teach how to take a throw in an over 35s game last year.
Yeah, well, trust me, after a year or so with a woman, you'd be doing your very best to get back out the door. So, you know, sit tight, he'll be back.
Stronger than ever. That's why I heard him on the night. That's crazy. We can say anything you want about him as well.
Absolutely. Kind of, yeah.
He's that far under the tongue, you won't be able to. How are you, Jamie?
It's very much. The lads are here again in the flat. Thanks very much for coming. Pete, you were here before for a podcast. Ro, I think you were here many nights. This is your first time sober, I think.
Ever.
I was here for the Super Bowl last night.
Actually, we want to thank Ro, because he's a last minute substitution that Jamie Connors was unable to come in today. He might have overdone it on the Chark and Chowder last night.
And the chicken wings,
yeah. Watching the Super Bowl, so...
On my last minute replacement.
Yeah, that's one less version in the room anyway. So, look, lads, we just want to say thanks for coming in again. And big thanks to everyone. I suppose last time you heard my voice over a microphone was in Vicar Street. So thanks to everyone that came. I suppose on behalf of myself, Jamie, Eric, I'm sure the Monaghan family appreciate it dearly. And I suppose everyone bows up, had a great night. I think the two lads here had a great night. So
hopefully this year. Done the man justice, absolutely.
Yeah, so hopefully this year is a bit better year for bows on and off the pitch. So it has been a podcast since sadly before the passing of Mono. So without getting into too much detail about all the matches in between, it just the first thing I want to talk about was the buying in and long out. Pete, I suppose I'll start with you, and to me personally the writing was on the wall for Keith Long. We think a lot of us didn't want to believe it. We were completely believing in Long throughout the whole time, I suppose, but I don't know, for me I think it was inevitable.
Yeah, I think anyone who knows me or who spoke to me or has been on a WhatsApp group with me will know my feelings on Keith Long. I still won't be told that he didn't deserve to take the team, you know, in after the signings were made. But no point in looking back at this stage. Devine's the man.
I think it's sad the way it ended for Long as well. Yeah. I think everyone would have liked to see after all what he'd done for the club and all. You would love to see him win a trophy, but I suppose football doesn't wait for anyone, does it?
No.
These days, anyway.
And, you know, if you measure success just on trophies alone, there's not going to be too many successful managers out there. So no. I think when the dust settles in a couple of years' time, it's to be remembered as someone that brought great times. Absolutely, yeah. Gave us some of the best days we've ever had following Bowes, you know. So, it's all good from that point of view.
Yeah, definitely echo that opinion. I think when you talk to a lot of Bowes fans, particularly even yourself, Rob, you said you probably enjoyed qualifying for Europe more than you enjoyed winning some league titles.
Yeah, but those few weeks in the Aviva, like, and that trip over into Hungary and all that, like, you didn't do a favour 3 times in 3 weeks or something.
Sick of what we were. I've got to this kip again tonight.
£7 a fucking point over here.
Not in terms of the barman roles and all. Like, you bring those memories to your deathbed.
Yeah,
fair enough, we didn't win a trophy, but like.
Stephen says, quest goes on anyway.
Yeah. But anyway, Long's gone and the Devine's in now, so we move on. And fair enough, it took a long time to get a new manager.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what the story is. There was a lot of rumours going around. Now you had the likes of Alan Reynolds or whatever.
I think someone in the room might have threatened to burn a board member's scaffold for that one. And I think when Ian Ryan was in it. And I think when another person in the room threatened to burn the same board member's scaffold when Ian Ryan was meant to be appointed. So as that man said himself, I can't fucking win.
Yeah. So, I think, listen, Devine, like, he definitely talks the talk. I mean, if you listen to his interviews, you couldn't help be excited about it, but...
It's not anything results.
That's it. Like, I think that's why this game on Friday is so important. He kind of needs to hit the ground running, or you don't want that mood of gloom that was so evident last year, like carrying into next season. It was just horrible,
it was a horrible season on and off the pitch, really. Even in the stands, like the unity of the fan base that we had for seasons before, it just doesn't seem to be there now.
That was our strong point, that we had that unity, I think, with so many years under Long.
It just wasn't there last season at all.
No, and I think it was almost a cup final hangover. We never really shook that cup final off. The start of the season was like a weight around our shoulders that we'd lost the cup final and we felt our chance is gone and we just couldn't turn it around. Obviously, losing a few players didn't help either, but I just don't think that we ever got over that, you know what I mean? And as I said, people's expectations then were tweaked and 3 or 4 games into the season last year.
Yeah, UCD,
it's like the worm turned and that was the end of it, really. You know, we never really got it back after that.
Yeah, I think one key thing that happened this year in the stands is that even despite it maybe a possible bad result on Friday, we can't have last season's hangover affect the mood going in.
We have to start fresh. We have to go again. There's no point looking back now at this stage. We've a new man in charge. We've just got to get it going.
We've got the whole season to be miserable about it, so don't let the start be the fucking...
Yeah, well, listen, all this will change on Friday. I mean, even now, normally we're buzzing at this time of the season. You know, I don't feel that buzz. I don't have that buzz yet. But a win on Friday, I think, would really
But
it's
when we get down
to
Cork. But I think that might change.
Yeah, yeah.
But look, you look at our start, even if you look at his first 3 games, with Cork away Friday, I know they're a newly promoted team and all, but you'd be hopeful enough to get a good start down there.
Yeah.
Then a home game to Dundalk and away to Shetlands. Like, if you can get a good start, and they're winnable games, let's face it.
Like, if we get 1 point down on 9 there, we'd be buzzing.
We're talking about a corner, dude. Seriously, like, if we get... There's certainly there.
Yeah, like
start. Okay, now
Cork is always a tough play, and like
we have to shake. Bones. There's one thing I do wanted to say under Long. I think we had to shake this thing of Harps is a hard place to go and Cork was a hard place to go. Like, we were struggling to get results there when everybody was beating them up there. Like, I know we beat Harps eventually, but I think Long overthought these games as well, particularly Harps, where I think you always tried something too different. And it never backfired. And like, when we played a back three, he's overthinking these games. So I think that shaking at Cork have come up this year.
I think if you look at our record against Harps over 10-15 games, it's not as bad as we all think.
It's just
it is.
How it seems to be. I think it's just
because
miserable.
When you lose and you have to drive home, unless you're Ellie Highland making the most of an overnight trip up there, you know. But
the Tinder
Swindler. Yeah, sure it is. Yeah. So we should all be more like Eddie Highland when we're playing Finn Harps away, I think. But you're right in what you're saying. Cork, very winnable game. I mean, they've struggled to sign players. They've got Varian and they've got your man from Tunde.
Varian surely won't be eligible to play anyway.
Varian won't play. He's
unknown. So hopefully.
Yeah. Hopefully that's typed into the contract. Dundalk seem to be in...
You don't know what to make of Dundalk.
You don't know what to... They've really struggled to sign players as well, you know, which is the thing they haven't done over the last couple of years. They've always oversigned.
I think the owners came out at the end of last season and more or less said, we haven't got a pot to piss in.
Yeah.
They haven't got the funds that they once thought they did, and they were looking for investment again. Talk about fucking history repeating itself. Yeah. But at the same... And then O'Donnell came out and said that he's not going to just sign players for the sake of signing them. I think he turned that a bit with a couple of players that came in from Gibraltar and the Faroe Islands, whatever. Like, it is a gamble. Yeah,
it's shot in the dark when they sign the players like
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely, and that's why it might be a good time to get Cork. I mean, the players Cork have signed and the players Dundalk have signed could turn out to be world beaters, but now is a good time to get them. Shells, you know, you'd like to think we're up and running by the time we get Shells. Another team is that's prostituting themselves for investments, Southampton and all sorts. Yeah, I'll take it from anyone at this stage.
I believe the curtain came down on the Southampton investment on the cup final day. Supposedly that was the rumour that the Southampton investors were there at the match and they said there's 4,000 people behind that goal. Where's the potential? This is a cup final.
Yeah.
Like, where is this meant to grow? If you can't do it on the biggest day of the year, how are we meant to get it in?
I mean, that's sure. I mean, you should have known that. As long as you did, Lynn said, no shells and no supporters. I think I'll go there for the cup final next year. It always seems to be lying, doesn't it?
We move on
there.
Swiftly, yeah.
Just said talking about players in, players out this year, lots of in-goings and out-goings, I suppose. A lot of familiar faces come on back in the door. Bucco and Kirk, two proper Bowles men, I think, which is going to be a serious impact on, I think, in the Bowen squad.
I do just get this out of the way, first of all. I mean, the players that have left, right, these are the ones I have. Kieran Kelly, Feely, Wilson, Burt, Finnerty, Junior, Jordan Doherty, and varying on loan. Now, with the exception of Burt, obviously.
Doherty
had a good season. I'd drop every one of them to the airport. Yeah. Like, you know.
Like, Brody Feely, he is the best agent in the world.
Like, my God. I mean, like, as a squad player, possibly. Ciarán Kelly, Jesus Christ. Like, the most frustrating centre-half you'll ever come across. Some great games and some absolutely horrendous games.
But last year he was a bomb.
Finnerty, again, don't know what to make of him. Some great games. Looked like a... Bear out in Hungary that night and then never saw it again.
Just completely lost his confidence.
Junior, it was a big disappointment. Junior,
huge disappointment. So, not concerned about losing anyone, Bar, with the exception of Burt, obviously. I think that's going to hurt us this season, you know.
I think a lot of people were a bit upset that we lost Jordan Doherty, but he was just a step-in man for anyone that couldn't play in a position.
Yeah.
Didn't start a lot of games. I know he came in and done a job, but...
Yeah, I don't think he ever let us down, you know.
Say about Doherty, in fairness.
No, absolutely. And I believe he loved playing for Bowes and, you know...
The rest of them
could
fuck off.
But I know, Varian was giving it the large one at the end of the season, I believe, saying you can't wait to score in front of the Cork fans.
Yeah, but that was 3 in the morning. Yeah, that,
and he was scoring for Bowles as well.
Sure, I was telling him I was going to score for Bowles as well.
You look at the in list, though.
Yeah, like Dylan Connolly.
That's a talent, has the medals.
Again, it's going to be, you'll know 3 or 4 games into the season what this fella's all about. Jay Benn got injured in after 6 minutes of his debut, so another good sign.
A bit eager, he looked on that tackle. Said, I better show this man I can prove myself. And he's carted off, and I believe he didn't know where he was when he was in Wexford Hospital.
Yeah.
So that's a good start to his post.
I'm telling myself also.
Paddy Kirk, great signing.
Yeah, I think he improved that Sligo as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Full-time football and the whole lot. Williams always seemed to score against us. Always seems to come over and give us a wave when he scored as well. So maybe it was written in the stars. Akintunde, absolutely. I'd have a go at that.
Talent, didn't he? The pace. There's a bit of pace there in the side of the
I think the one thing Derry fans said that he didn't have 90 minutes in him. Yeah. Akintunde. They said he was very much a 60, 70 minute man player. And that's it. You're not going to get anything right out of the tank. Hopefully maybe he can prove his fitness down with Bowles or whatever the reason is behind that, and we can get a bit more time over. It'll just be interesting to see where he actually plays. I know Afolabi will probably be the main man up front, but will Akintunde be deployed on the wing or up top?
Yeah.
I think that remains.
Goals there though, wasn't there? Like when you look at Connolly, pace, power, Akintunde can score goals. Williams can certainly score goals.
Afolabi up front.
Afolabi, if he gets going, you know, everyone says it about him, you know. So
was it the Ireland of the 20s, was it? A few years ago, he made the team of the tournament.
That's right.
There's obviously talent there.
Like. Yeah. So get him going. Obviously, Bucco coming back. Dennison, the sub goalkeeper, and Adam McDonald. I think he'll be a big player as well. You know,
it's just at the back of story, isn't it?
Then of course, the latest recruit today was a young Casper. I won't attempt to pronounce a second name out of respect to the man.
No,
but this isn't a player that the boys just taken in a couple of days before the season starts. He has been playing pre-season friendlies and training with Bowes the last several weeks. Whatever reason was for getting the deal tied down, I know the boys was quite eager to tie this man down. So hopefully he can be a bit of a stalwart centre-half now, with particularly nobody taking that place from Rob Cornwell. I know it's only on loan, but you know,
still short back there, let's face it.
We're well short. And
now I know that probably looks like Twardek's going to go back there.
Well, I was calling for that last season. When you're seeing the step over, I've had enough of those.
I was on the highway for the season. It wasn't many.
Like, I felt bad for him because there was fans. When he was doing the fans were going, well, hey, and I was quiet. Which you can understand, but at the same time, you know, what's he thinking?
I don't think Twardek's good enough in the ball to play right full for Bowes. No. Like, the way the game is played now, especially if we want to be progressive, the fullbacks are going to be,
bombing forward,
getting the ball, playing it into midfield, getting it back, and be almost like quarterbacks. So I don't think that Twardek can
work. Well, he can't do any... Compared to Max Murphy and Rory Feely, he'd be certainly a step up in that.
That's it, neither of them could play well. So they're getting the ball and they're kicking it and it's coming straight back to us. So I wouldn't want to see Twardek talking out wearing the number 2 shirt. Absolutely not.
Yeah, I'd imagine there might be 1 or 2 maybe not this week. But
there's another lad on trial. I think he's playing for Maynooth in some capacity. I think he's a centre-half, so remains to see what... we brought in between now and Friday.
UCD fella's meant to be coming in the summer as well.
Sam Todd, there's only goal lad, yeah.
Another option, you know. But again, another two things that he's done, Devine. He's brought in like a top analyst and a top fitness coach as well. So we're never going to be able to get the best players. They'll go to the other clubs, the Robes and the Derry.
Off the pitch, we're starting to put it together. As you say, you've an analyst and fitness coach.
If we can get the best of the rest there and you know, get the margins there from a fitness coach and an analyst.
Yeah. you're Fenlon in as well there, which are the void opinion, personally. I don't like him. I'm not going to lie about it, but I think from a football point of view, Italy has the contacts, he has the know-how, it could be a good move. It's probably been crying out for it. And again, you go back, I'd say Long probably would have.
It's probably the rock Long perished on all the signs he made. If you had a director of football there,
Dave Henderson coming in as well, head of recruitment. Going back to the future. That's Jerry Cuffin, Jerry Cuffin.
Seen this film before.
Having players that are regulars and are starting 11 going to Tala is obviously something they want to eradicate as well.
I think Fenlon's probably been brought in for that.
Yeah.
It's
20
years at this stage.
Yeah, it's not happening.
It's the best player. And you wonder if they're doing it for the player or just to fucking wind us up at this stage.
I think when Lyons left last year, I said we won't miss him. He'll struggle up there. I actually thought Barry Cotter would keep him out of the team.
Shows how we know.
Proved wrong within 5 weeks in top score. He finally goes from the wrong position and everything, you know. But Bert is going to be a good sign, there's no doubt about it, especially with the amount of games they have.
You look at it overall in the league, if you want to touch on that, then where do you see people finishing? Obviously, unfortunately, it's going to be between Stemla and Derry, isn't it?
Yeah, you'd fancy Derry to have a good crack at it this year, you know. Europe as well with Rovers. There was no one to catch them on the hop with Europe last year. Derry only came into it late. If Rovers are going to have another season like they did in Europe last year, which they probably will the way it's structured now, I'd really fancy Derry to have a right go at them, you know.
Well, meaning be like the Grim Reaper as well. Philip O'Dartley's not getting any younger as well, so you'd imagine he'd want to.
Yeah.
You want to see a league title.
You want
to get a move on.
Yeah. I think what we have, obviously we all hear hope that Bowles will win the league. I think a bit more realistic in the first season of a manager. I think that Derry might want to have one of those seasons that Cork had a couple of years ago when they won, 12, 13 games in a row.
Just get off the floor and
wrap up the season before anyone can even charge for a title behind them. But then again, Rovers,
the Rovers mindset would be, so they'll want as many points on the board early doors. They'll be thinking we're going to start with Flair. And then, as I said, when we hit Europe, they'll want a bit of a lead going into that. Because if they don't have a lead going into Europe, they will drop points inevitably in Europe. And that's where Derry can do damage. But
Well, yeah, I'm a firm believer that the first 10 games in the season, the first series of games, really set the precedent for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Many times you'll be falling behind the first 10 games and you're trying to play catch up for Europe.
You seem to do an awful lot, don't we?
The season we qualified for Europe, we were challenging for the title. We were forced in the table in April before the influx of multiple games.
Yeah.
So I think the first 10 games are really, particularly for Bowles, have been just really important.
It goes back
even
to the first three games again. Picking up
sets the mood almost, you know. But as you said earlier on, we have a great chance to get points on the board. Cork, Dundalk, and Shells. There's points there to be got. There's no doubt about it, you know.
And after them two, you're looking at third place, and we certainly think we can challenge for along with Pats and Dundalk.
Absolutely. I mean, there's nothing to be afraid of. Again, it's all dependent on how we start, you know. But Pats have signed Mulroney. That looks like a really, really good sign. You know, they've signed Lonergan as well. Cork, Tunde, Shells haven't really overdone it. Paddy Barrett, Conor Cairns.
I think Sligo could struggle
without Kenneth as well. Yeah. And it must have been a kick in the bollocks with fucking Johnny Kenny going.
And losing
over
Kirk.
So losing Kirk as well.
Adam McDonald, the big one as well, yeah. So, you're looking at Rovers and Cork, then you're similar to previous seasons, between Pats, ourselves, Sligo, possibly Shells if they keep improving. But I'd say that the top two and then the European spots, Pats, Sligo, Bowes. No reason why we shouldn't be in the shape. No. Dundalk, obviously, as well, yeah. So
I think it's going to be really, as you said, it's going to be the best of the rest. It's going to be the top two, and I don't think it's going to take any great team to finish third in the league.
No, I think Drott and UCL, obviously, the looks of it, be the bottom two anyway. Mm-hmm. It's a struggle, but
Cork as well, it's going to be four season back. Their objective is to stay up.
I don't think they challenge back toward or anything like
that. And Shells could be second season syndrome, because as you said,
Shells could be anything with Duffy.
They didn't have a good first season, so not going to be second season.
Well, they're the most improved team with 1 win in 7 months.
Yeah, and the best midfield in the league last year, so adding to that as well, you know.
But the one thing they are getting out of Duffer is they're getting 110% off the players, which was what probably Long was getting in his earlier years.
Yeah.
So, you know, as long as you're getting that, you're always going to have a fighting chance.
Yeah, no, they won't give it in way easy, you know what I mean? So, you know, you'll have to work to get something off them. But again, the quality, I don't think they have. A Paddy Barrett, Conor Cairns, looking delighted to see him signing for
that. I'd say Evans is delighted to see him.
Fantastic, yeah. Evans on the guest list for the first game.
Be an interesting reaction anyway when he's going towards the Ballybock end in Talca Park.
Yeah.
And the away fans will be waiting there at the green. That's if he starts.
I can show you anyway. That's very
good. He's brutal, absolutely fucking brutal.
I think Galway were holding the user looking to sign him.
He might have had the playoff, didn't he?
So, yeah. He had his day out in the sun in UCD.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so other than that, I think we're all optimistic. Bowls will finish in, and we've now got the, I suppose, as we're speaking of away ends as well, Pete, we've got the new stand, the 450 mono stand that was actually just announced today.
Absolutely, yeah. It's in prime location for the Rovers fans now to be firing missiles at our new manager. You'll get to know them very intimately in a few weeks' time, you know. But now it's an improvement, and I suppose what it does allow us to do is, you know, get the shed full.
More revenue for us, you'd imagine.
Reduce the amount of away fans that are coming in. People are slagging balls off saying you're only giving us 4. The away fans have had, 1,000 tickets at a disposal. Yeah, and they say the whole 3,500 for the last 15 years. You know what I mean?
With only one team regularly.
Only one team full. The Dundalk fan giving out about, their allocation. They never sold it out.
Yeah, that's
and they've had 1,000 to do it, you know what I mean? So. No, I mean, Rovers will feel it, obviously, but beyond that, I don't think any of the away teams can really complain, and they're still going to be getting what they're entitled to, so.
As I said, there'll be more revenue for us, hopefully, anyway, if we can fill all behind the goal as well, on a regular basis.
Yeah, so there's about 1,000 tickets, essentially, on sale,
what's it, 1,300 or something like that, basically, so.
2,800 in the home end, that's 3,000, looking at the go to about 4,300,
And hopefully it'll improve the atmosphere as well. You'll have a two-sided ground now as opposed to a three-sided ground now as opposed to a two-sided ground.
Oh, wait, they come up there on the Connacht Street then, is it? The away fans?
It'll be the same entrance that would have been through the Connacht Street.
The Rockets and
we'll pass that information on to the fans, for the Rovers, mate. We're well in time for that, don't worry.
At the Playboy's house there.
Well, the sand itself, actually, I think looks great, particularly for now. It's probably better than the Des Kelly in terms of cover and stuff like that.
You'd wonder why the likes of Dundalk is the obvious one, where they couldn't put something up behind the goal like that.
It's not their side, I think that's probably their fucking...
It's not ours,
either.
That crowd obviously specialise in doing it, so as I said, it looks good for what it is.
And hopefully now, I know there's a bit of a Portaloo derby going on between the two Rings End teams.
The Portaloo derby, yeah.
They're not too happy with the Bowls away facilities, and I think Lambert said it himself, this is a 90-minute, can you not fucking use a Portaloo for 90 minutes?
Yeah.
Because you use them at festivals, you use them at fucking everywhere. Surely for 90 minutes of your day, you can use a Portaloo. Mm-hmm. So it's 2 minutes of the shells in the Portaloo derby, that's what they've mentioned so far. The no trophies handed out in February, still a long way to go.
I don't wait no one about trophies.
So that's how we vision the league's going to go, lads. I suppose... We now went to Cork and got them on Friday, but a few tales to tell about Cork.
I'm delighted to see them back, to be honest. Not many people to say that, but I think going down there, Tornos Cross, it's a proper stadium. It feels like a proper match. There's always a big crowd. Well, there's usually a big crowd anyway. And they hate you as well, so that makes it even better.
To reiterate, I love going down to Cork. I always have. I probably count on one hand the amount of times I've missed Cork away. It's on a rail line, it's a good night out, decent ground, it's always a bit of a decent game, and we've had some great games.
It feels like we're at a match as well, the stadium, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Four-sided ground, and there's always a half-decent atmosphere down there. It's been a bit heavy with the police in the last couple of years, but...
Probably
understand them to a point, you know.
We'll see what they're like up front,
yeah.
I'm sure Sergeant Cronin is looking forward to seeing us again. We can chat with him.
Last trip was down there was the cup match, I'm sure we'll touch on, but the one before that was a fancy dress day. I think there's a schmoz between doctors and priests, and
that was one to remember. Right. I think about 2014 thereabouts. I think it was here he was in charge, was he?
No, I think it was later than this. I think it was
maybe I just saying because I was dressed up as Kilgore. Get away with it back then.
It's 1,000. Could be, maybe it was, but I remember we got refused from the away end because they were just being pricks down there, and then myself and Mr. Lyons were in the home end. I broke my ankle dressed as a priest. Explain that to the security man who refused you to get on into the ground. So I was made walk around with a broken ankle around Cork City till I found the bus. But
and say that day we got down there earlier, if I remember, and we were in the horseshoe for a game or whatever, and we're all in fancy dress now. So I picture the scene anyway. So the lads are outside having a smoke, dressed in as various superheroes and God knows what else. And there was words exchanged with the local Cork fans. And then obviously I can't condone them, but there seemed to be a bit of fisticuffs after that. But the funniest thing ever is, like, you have Ian Paisley and the Pope in one corner.
Someone dressed as a banana.
A banana. Superheroes. Half the medical staff out of God knows where.
Oh, brilliant.
And they were out of the matter.
And I don't think there's any arrest, because let's face it, how could you bring that to court? Guard, what was the defendant?
He's an 8-foot banana. Like, get out of here.
And I believe, actually, I remember there was a bit of friendly fire as well, where one of the bows hit another bows, and then
two doctors.
Two doctors, and then with a straight face later on said, "Sorry, I didn't know you were bows." Like, what the fuck was it? I'm not that badly dressed at all, but... going around dressed as a doctor. So that shows you the level of genius we're dealing with.
There's certainly no doctors in the ranks in this bus anyway. Well, I suppose, Pete, you have a couple of Cork stories.
There's a couple of Cork games here that roll off the tongue. Most notably would be the Cup Final in 1992, probably before that's still one of my all-time favourite bowl games, 1992 on Lansdowne Road. Oh, fantastic. Just orgasmic, even. Cup Final in 1992, once you hear that, that's enough to give you...
The IMC will be raving about it.
Yeah, absolutely,
again.
Absolutely.
Best dressed man that day, too.
Yeah,
He's still stuck in 1992.
Was fancy dressed that day as well. One that sticks out as well is the Stephen Kenny game, when the Pride of Dalymount were kind of in their infancy. It was a couple of weeks after Jackie Jamieson had died. I think it was a one-all draw.
I think it was the day of the funeral,
we brought a huge crowd down there, and
sticks in the mind.
I think we started to believe we were going to win the league that even. A great trip down to Cork last year. Anyone who was there, those four or five of us, will remember this one. College Corinthians and Turner's Cross.
Watching it from the bar,
just at the end of COVID, and we. It was me, Jamie. It was the night that Keith Long was accosted in the lane by a certain Bowes fan, which will remain nameless. College Corinthians, we went down the corner flag is the name of the pub. It's the old horseshoe.
The old horseshoe now, isn't it?
It was the hottest day of the year.
And certainly won't be loud in it this time.
I think we were in Greece on the Thursday. Or we were going to Greece the following Thursday. It was in around that time, but it was a great old trip. And finished off with a chase in the lane, which is great. losing the league in a playoff down there in 1993, we lost the first game of a kind of a triangular thing. It was awful. November 2007, I have down as well. We won 1-0 last game of the season.
We qualified for the Intercontinental Cup. Sean Connor,
it was a bizarre own goal. Don't really remember it. And we got the job done. We went to
the
following year.
So it was well worth it.
The first game after COVID was in Turner's Cross. Obviously, none of us were there, but I watched it in Lanzarote. Broke all the COVID rules and broke all the government advice and fucked off the Lanzarote for a few days with a few other Bowls fans and watched it over there.
Fucked off to the back page and then
I
think.
Yeah, that's right,
yeah.
You've got blood in your hands for Pete, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. August 2008, 1-0, Glen Crow.
I think that was the night
we went 10 or 12 points clear that night.
They were the closest.
They were the closest challenger. We won 1-0, and there was lively scenes in Cork City Centre that night, and described as the Battle of McCurtain Street. For anyone that was there, we'll know what we're talking about. I think I told this story on the last podcast as well, but I remember going to Cork to watch Bowes, and Man United were playing in the FA Cup final the next morning. Had a night in the Lash in Cork, went to Cork Airport, missed a flight, rebooked, sat down, had a drink, fell asleep, missed the flight the second time, jumped on a train home and arrived at my door as the FA Cup final was kicking off. It was the first game in the new Wembley. The tickets were like absolute gold dust.
And you had a ticket,
I had a ticket in my back pocket.
Missed the flight twice.
Exactly.
Did you miss a flight coming back from Slovenia, was it?
Two or three on that one as well, let's not go there tonight.
Missus might be listening.
There was time, I think me and you were all, we were in the airport, the lovely Leeds Bradford. And I think the queue was quite big. I remember looking at you, I don't think Pete's going to make this one. So, Pete, you have a bad record. Hopefully, then when we're back in Europe, we'll keep up.
Hopefully, we're not the Leeds Bradford either.
Christ almighty, yeah. Some cracking games there over the years. Obviously, the Cup semi-final, which I don't think I still got over that. That's another moment of heartbreak over the last few years, you know. The game in Dalymount done it for me, but...
I think we knew going down for a second. Yeah, that was it, wasn't it? We believed that. That was... Because that was the year, whatever way the draw came out.
We were flying.
Yeah, we were down in Wexford. Yeah. Great trip down in Galway. Up in Derry. And then down in Cork. We were all away games.
We were absolutely flying at the time as well.
I think we were bringing a big away spot. Yeah. You know, it was just, we were on a roll that year. I think we believed that year as well.
We did believe it. I think that really
which
was.
The coolest part.
That was Keith Long's. Wouldn't say it was his death, but I mean, that's when an expectation grew. Yeah. You know, the cup is ours for the next fucking 10 years, we still haven't won. But that's where the great belief that we came that we could actually win a cup.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're still right off
that. Still waiting on it,
I do want to mention on that cup trip, obviously, that's where the El Triangle, I think, was given its birthplace. But on the way down, I think that game, I went down the car with Shawzy and a couple of others. But I remember going by the bus on the motorway and that miserable cunt wheeling, I'll say it now. I went by the bus, and when I say, I'm not going to reference a moment in history when people were squeezing into a small room, but I mean, I walked by and Glenn Lyons was slapped naked onto the wall because there was about fucking 20 people over on the bus. Rob, I think you might have been on the bus and believe the conditions were horrific.
It was like a train to Calcutta in rush hour.
But you remember that day, I think Dwayne was working down in Cork that day and he was in Fermoy. I remember we had been told by the police, the club, listen, you won't get a drink in Cork. Get yourselves down to the match, in and out. So we stopped off in Fermoy. A couple of buses pulled in. And the fellow was just standing behind the bar. All of a sudden, two buses came in. He was calling in from staff for all over the place. He was making us sandwiches. There was rounds and little shots coming out. We had a great out 2 or 3 hours. I think we thought we were going to win the UEFA Cup. The FAI Cup by the time we left. But that was a great out trip, yeah. Morris's goal, obviously, as well. Towards the end, another
that,
teasing
you know
goal.
What? That goal was just... Probably didn't get the celebration deserved because it was such a long wait in between. It was basically a VAR decision, wasn't it? Everyone just sort of waiting around.
It was outrageous, let's face it.
It was one of the best strikes I've ever seen at a football match. It came out.
It was just clean.
It didn't hit the net. Remember, it hit the stanchion and kind of came out, didn't it? Yeah.
So never really got the rustle. But you could see a couple of faces behind the Cork goal, you know, head and hands, just like that.
Yeah.
That sort of gave it away. But
the waste part down there that way as well. So that just shows you what we'd have Friday around the same numbers, I'd imagine.
It's 700 or 800, isn't it?
Yeah.
Plenty in the home end too, I'd imagine.
I'd say so.
Because they're probably talking the best.
Is it sold out? I presume it's sold out, is it?
I don't think so.
You'd imagine they'd get 6,000 there on Friday, wouldn't they? First game back. The great Cork public.
A good mate of mine, I'd be seeing him on Friday. Please God, a Cork fella, Neil. If you're listening, Neil.
Hey, John Hayes.
Yeah. Yeah. Cork Tom.
But I met him on a trip to Prague 15 years ago. We were both in different lives at the time, but we clicked, and ever since then we've just stayed in touch. And every time we get down there, or he comes up, we have a couple of pints. But he's a great lad, so.
So shout out to him, is it?
Shout out to me. Yeah, absolutely. He's looked after me a few times down there.
He's a bitch of me there.
Pete, we had you in last one, and I had something written down on my notepad, and I thought, what the fuck is this about? So I just left it aside. So I do apologise to Greg about that. But what I do want to fucking say is, and I have to ask it now, back in your school days, you had a fan magazine, I do believe. Could you tell me what it was called and a bit about it?
People are going to wonder why we're bringing this up on the Bowles fucking podcast. A lot of people seem to find it funny, so I'll give you the story anyway. The school I went to was a rugby playing school, believe it or not, because there was actually no school in my area at the time, not lying. But I was reading a lot of football fanzines at the time, you know what I mean? And I think Direct Action Against Drugs were in their infancy at the time. And I kind of merged the two, and I formed a magazine that was called Direct Action Against Rugby. It was a fanzine style. There was actually a well-known Shamrock Rovers fan was actually gave me a hand with it. But we used to print this magazine up, and I used to be in the office photocopying it and stapling together and the whole lot. But it used to fly off the shelves. It used to charge £2 at the time.
It used to make a bit of a fortune, didn't it?
So this went on. It was issue 1, issue 2, issue 3. There was alleges of all sorts of shenanigans from the rugby teachers and the rugby captains and all sorts. We made all sorts of allegations against these in a fanzine format, but... came home from school one evening and there was a solicitor's letter from the school there. that put me put a stop to the train for a while anyway. But I had my phone on the train for a couple of months anyway, you know.
It was one of the funniest stories I heard when Greg was telling me about it.
Yeah,
brilliant.
I think it's one of those you have to be there at the time, but I don't think that'll translate. But
you can see a picture of you, a young Pete in it running around with Andy Rugby magazine.
Who made that magazine? And I said, not me, and I've been pockets full of change.
You still have to change it.
And did you remember the paint markers they had? Remember, you used to be able to buy gold and paint markers. Used to write a DAAR over the walls, and then, you know, he'd come in.
Who was that? Not me!
A marker in your hand, you know? But, yeah.
Yeah, so I just had to get that one in.
That was left wheel there, man.
Yeah.
Well, so now, so I was looking ahead to Friday. I'll give you a bit of a stab at the starting 11 before I give you the stab at the result.
Well, I suppose it's dependent on...
Dennis the Menace, I don't think we'll make an appearance with him.
Talbot's huge as well. I suppose we really missed him last season. Like, you know,
his presence.
His presence and everything. He wouldn't have tolerated some of the shite that was going on there last year, you know. So Talbot back in goal. Jay Ben. If he's fit, if he's not fit, Twardock.
Very much Twardock, isn't it? There's
really no... I think it'd be Twardock.
Twardock, yeah. I'd probably go with Paddy Kirk is fit, so I'd probably have Paddy Kirk and Casper maybe.
Santa Vaxa looks looking like
it. Horton, anyway, you'd imagine, would it?
If Horton's fit, maybe Horton.
It's not many.
Horton's went off injured. He was limping around, I think Luke said he.
Keane Bourne as well, he's quite right now. I don't know much about him. I don't know, maybe he was there.
Big much to show your first proper senior debut into Turner's Cross.
They reckon he's ready, they reckon he's good to go. Who knows? But yeah, Paddy Kirk, one of his best games I ever seen him playing for Bowes is at centre half. Up in Dundalk before he went. It was brilliant. So it could be him. I don't know. I genuinely don't know what shape he's going to have. I don't know what. I mean, you'd imagine Bucco's going to play. Adam McDonald will probably play as well. So that could be the two anchors in there. Yeah.
I think it's only 4-2-3-1. I was nearly hoping for a bit of a shift from that this season.
You haven't seen many pre-season games, so you don't even know, like.
I think there's only one loser in your family heading out to AUL.
Yeah, he's been seen in the AUL, Clanshock. He's been seen at AstroTurf pitches all over. I think
he was seen in Star Street with Interpol as well.
Yeah, he's going to be locked up very shortly if he continues. He's just glad for him that pre-season's over, you know what I mean?
And it wasn't even just a one-off, you know.
No.
He's a repeat
offender. Yeah. Cry for help. Yeah, so if he's going with three, like Andy Coote's apparently flying.
James Clark will have to be in there as well.
Hopefully there's a bit of a toxicness going out of that gaff anyway, where the Scots last year, I believe, a bit of a bad vibe coming from.
Well, we know Coote has the talent, he showed that in the European games, like. So if he gets his head together and gets his attitude right again.
Hopefully that would help now when I was working the gaps.
Great transition, like going from defence to attack, he's fantastic. Like, you know, he's one of the best around at doing it, but just didn't see it last year for whatever reason. I know he was probably fighting with everybody that move, but again, as Ralph said, if you get him right, he's one of the best around, you know. So, Coote, Williams, don't know what a Williams would
play up front, like Afolabi.
Afolabi would be the linchpin there, you'd imagine, you know.
Connolly.
I think Connolly will probably start in the wing.
Connolly, yeah.
A few people have avoided on McDead. I don't think McDead's worth us.
He didn't show enough last year.
I saw glimpses of it with him, you know.
Not the start.
Just looks maybe a yard off it. So if he's fit, you know, who knows.
Speaking of fitness,
plenty of options.
Like, so basically, we haven't a clue.
No, we haven't a clue. But no matter who starts or who doesn't start, we've plenty of options and we've plenty of players there that can possibly change the game. Like last year, I don't think we ever won an old scrappy game that we didn't deserve to win. We've enough players that'll score goals now. If we're not playing well, we should still be able to create chances and maybe get a goal in off someone's arse or so and so. Like many times the Dundalk come to Daly Mount, Derry come to Daly Mount. We played them off the park and they go up the other end and score a goal because
they knew how to win games
and they've players that can affect the game in the final quarter in their team. So hopefully we have that now to a certain extent. And love to see us get down to Cork and absolutely battered on Friday.
I think we win 1-0 in the 86th minute
off Ali Coote's arse. But I think what's
important is that we that we don't do what we've done at the start of last season and get that back into our heads. I know plenty of those players are gone conceding late goals.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Like, fuck me, pink. I know. We'll be top of the league if the game ended at 60 minutes. Well, a fucking dozen of them are not, so just have a fuck off.
The most ridiculous fucking stats we've ever shown if the
season ended before it started, we'd be top of the fucking alphabetical order.
Would it actually be level with Dynamo Kiev in the Champions League if games are only 73 minutes long?
Absolute nonsense stat, but there's one player, I think you touched on fitness there, and he probably has a lot to answer for, Mr. O'Sullivan, that's probably been nearly half forgotten about.
Yeah, we have forgotten about him, we didn't mention him at all.
I don't think he's going to get near the team. I don't think he's going to get in at all, which is such a shame because
he came from a big reputation.
Really fancied him when he came back, and you can see
gave it the large as well.
Yeah.
300 appearances in the Football League, absolutely. So
he's well spoken of. Yeah. I mean, any supporters of any of the teams he's played for. Played in Wembley in the playoff final, you know, really, really good football CV, but it just hasn't happened for whatever reason.
Maybe he probably came back and thought he was
above everyone. And
yeah, just stay off the fucking Twitter as well. Yeah. You know what I
mean? Like, I think a lot of fans,
like, a lot
of our supporters.
He was actually bullied off Twitter by his own fans last year. People directly, you know, said, oh, my hips are bollocks, whatever, I'll be out for a season. People say, call him this, that, and you're up.
It's a clean
slate this season.
No one is a bigger nuisance and pest on Twitter than me.
Yeah.
And even I thought it's a bit fucking much.
The people out there, Shells fans, Shamrock Rovers, the tweet footballers, and tweet Daniel Lambert about every single thing that he says on Twitter. They're the biggest losers on the planet. So
anyone,
when that's
anyone who's on Twitter is to be watched anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is a man that's only got a fucking smartphone the last 3 years.
That's because the guy had the other one.
But so before we wrap up, ask force for Cork result.
2-0 Bows. We'll start, I think.
1-0 Bows. Last 10 minutes. New fitness coach is going to have us absolutely firing. Away end is going to be lit, going to be drunk.
Is that the new
it's
term?
Going to be riled up.
The kids are using the gaff lit.
Yeah, yeah. And it's going to be a good night because we've had so many fucking poxy nights over the last 2 years. We deserve a good old night out.
It's a new start.
On the telly and get everyone going again. Yeah. We'll give it a good rattle this season.
I think we could be poxed defensively for particularly the start of the season. Those things as well. I'm going to say 2-1 the balls.
Yeah.
Hopefully, such. Late winner, but then again, don't have to do that to me fucking heart either. So I'll go 2-1. The bus will be halfway home or half the people.
Just Google corner flag there, Ross. Is it open for you?
And I suppose while you're here, we'll give just a preview or the where you think we're going to finish at the end of the season.
Toward for me, and we win the cup.
Derry for the league, Bowles for the cup, and we'll finish fifth.
I'm going for the double.
Lance has seen your cup and the EA Sports Cup.
I'll let go Rose Woods there. I'll go for fourth place and hopefully...
Listen, get back into Europe by hook or by crook, whether that's finishing fourth or whether that's someone else.
I hope that I'm walking on a jolly up in the summer somewhere. Prague would be nice.
I do believe that the possibility of another member's own club. So... Brownie, rumours.
We enjoyed ourselves in Berlin last year, didn't we?
And most of us did.
So hopefully we can get back onto a plane this year, get back seeing balls abroad, and hopefully
get the buzz back.
Fans get behind the fucking team.
That's one of the main things I think we had made this season. Get a bit of unity back. When we're all together, we can do great things.
You're always going to win and lose football.
It's a politician here. Not sure if that's all about there.
he's right though. Like you'll always win and lose football matches. That's just the way it is. But. When you lose something off the pitch, it's very hard to replace that, you know, and we need to make sure that that's there this year off the pitch and get behind the lads and give it a good rattle.
Yeah, so lads, I want to thank you very much for coming in. One man band, so hopefully you can keep some sort of show going here.
Hopefully it's a few more podcasts anyway.
Yeah, give people something to listen to and give me something to talk about.
I have an NFL one later on, just a review of last night's games.
You're going over the Connors house, aren't you? Anyway, lads, thanks very much, and get the Friday. Come on, the fucking balls.
Come on, balls.
'Cause we all follow Bows wherever they play. We don't care if it's home or away. We are the Bowies and we're proud of our name. So we'll all bounce around and we'll sing it again.